Welcome, and thanks for listening to the USGS Corecast. I'm Scott Horvath. Obviously, in the news today, there's a lot happening with the floods in the Midwest, and certainly USGS is doing a lot to cover this and provide up-to-date and real-time information and data regarding these floods and what has been happening. We want to talk today with Bob Holmes, who is the National Flood Coordinator for the USGS. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott.
So, one of the things that I know that you've been getting a lot of questions about, and some of the public might be interested in knowing about, is as far as flooding goes. You know, we hear this phrase, a 500-year flood, and supposedly there's been two. This is the second 500-year flood within 15 years. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, some of our numbers are showing that this, at least on our frequency probability curves, is about the second 500-year flood we've had in 15 years.
Well, what exactly does that mean? How can you have a 500-year flood within 15 years?
Well, essentially, I think as hydrologists, we've probably done ourselves a disservice by calling it that. Essentially, it's a probabilistic measure. A lot of people think, okay, if I've had a 500-year flood now, this year, we got 499 years. We don't have to worry about it again. And that's simply not the case. Essentially, a 500-year flood is just that quantity of water that has the 1 in 500 chance of happening in any one year. Another way to say it would be there's a 0.2% chance of a flood of this magnitude occurring in any one year. So it's essentially a probabilistic measure. We take our annual peak flow values from the USGS gauges, and we fit a probability model to those and come up with a number for a 100-year, a 500-year, 25-year, whatever. You know, the 100-year flood, for example, would be a chance of 1 in 100 of occurring in any one year.
So, I mean, does it go above, will it ever go above 500? I mean, is that even possible? Or I mean, just
well, probabilistically, yeah, sure. I mean, right. You know, you could have anything you want, but we got to remember, this is the value of the long-term USGS gauging data, and this is why we really make every effort to keep gauges active for long periods of time, because the more data you have, if we put a probability model to a gauging station with 25 years of record, that model is not as reliable as a gauging station with 150 years of record. Now, most of our gauges are well less than 100 years. Now, in a current flooding area, we do have some gauges like on the Cedar River at Cedar Rapids, we've got 105 years of record there. So those probability models are better than a gauge that's just been 30, 40 years of record.
With all this recent flooding and actually current flooding, can you tell me a little bit more about maybe do we know what's in store for downriver from what's happening right now, like say in Missouri or Mississippi?
Yeah, we basically what we've got is, you know, water is going to work its way downstream, and so you get rainfall occurring in massive quantities like we've had over the last couple of weeks, and as it falls on that landscape, it's going to run off into the smaller tributaries, and then that feeds the larger rivers like the Cedar in the Iowa. Those have peaked in the major metropolitan areas in Iowa, and they're moving on downriver. Those are coming and going down, and obviously the Mississippi is now the big attention's on it, and we are seeing that flood pulse, that flood wave move downstream, and we're, you know, it's starting to crest in those areas in northeastern Missouri, bordering the state of Illinois, and so we're starting to see the crests and peaks, say south of the Quincy, Illinois area, and we're going to be watching that. We have USGS crews making observations of stage and making sure our streamflow gauges are working properly, and in some cases have to make repairs, emergency repairs on those. And then we also have crews in boats using our hydroacoustic equipment making flow measurements, where we're actually looking at the volumetric flow rate. And that's crucial because that data is fed into the National Weather Service's forecast models. That without that data, they can't make an accurate forecast. So we've got that, and we're anticipating. We're watching that crest, and we are monitoring that crest as it moves down the Mississippi River.
So we are on the ground right now, well in advance of this, and anticipating, you know, whatever can happen, and taking those measurements and gathering that data.
Yeah, we have for example, we've had one crew in Clarksville, Missouri, above the lock and dam there at the special request of the St. Louis Army Corps of Engineers, because they're real concerned that they have accurate flow information to make decisions from an emergency response standpoint and for their lock and dam operations and knowing what's coming down river. So we've had a crew measuring every day from USGS with the boat, with our acoustic instruments, measuring the volumetric flow rate. We essentially measure the velocity and the speed of the stream and the cross-sectional area to be able to come up with these computations.
Okay. And I just wanted to go ahead and mention while we're on the phone and while we're talking here that we have, the USGS has a special page set up for all the recent flooding events and things that are occurring now and that will be occurring in the future here, possibly, hopefully not. But that page is going to be, or is at right now, it's at usgs.gov/June08floods. You can also get to that as well from the USGS homepage at usgs.gov and clicking on the left-hand side under the hazard section, there's a link there for current Midwest flooding updates. Bob, is there anything else that you want to add to this that I didn't ask you?
Well, we're starting to dry out a little bit in the Midwest. I've looked at the five-day quantitative precipitation forecast, and although we have rain coming, we're not getting it in the quantities, or we're not expecting to get it in the quantities that we've had over the past several weeks. And so I hope that we're going to start to dry out a little bit, especially in those areas in Iowa and southern Wisconsin and southwestern Indiana that have been really hard hit over the past weeks. So our crews will stay vigilant, and we'll probably have a lot of after response. We do a lot of flagging of high water marks and surveying where we can help the emergency managers prepare for the next one. We collect a lot of data after the fact on the flood high water that will be used. So just because the water recedes doesn't mean our field crews get to come into the office.
Well, Bob, great. Appreciate it. And keep up the good work with you and your teams out there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that does it for this episode of the USGS CoreCast. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, we did mention you can go to the USGS.gov homepage and click on the Midwest flooding updates on the left-hand side under the hazard section, or you can go to usgs.gov/June08floods to get all the recent information that USGS has and the recent data, real-time stream flow as well from that page. Again, USGS CoreCast is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior. Until next time, I'm Scott Horvath saying, keep it cool.